Welcome to another edition of Garden Talk. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Great to have you with us today as we take a look at plants that are easy and fun to grow. And we'll get to that in just a minute or two. But you know what? We're still in our Wisconsin Public Radio Winter Member Drive. And so I want to remind you that your contributions are the largest source of funding for our shows. Your gifts keep the programs you value, including this one, on the air. And I hope you'll make your contribution right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And I have a new co-host today, Jill Nadeau, our producer. Jill, good to see your smiling face. How are we doing?
Oh, hi, Larry. It's good to see you, too. I want to thank everybody who gave last hour. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And we've got a little bit of a goal today for our show here. In the first hour, we've got 25 gifts that we are looking for.
And these goals are important. They help us stay on track financially, so we can keep the talks going strong on the Ideas Network, like this show, Garden Talk. So give now at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
You know, lots of times people think that Wisconsin Public Radio operates largely with tax dollars. Well, we do get funding from federal and state government, but really the largest part comes from voluntary listener contributions. It's what we need to run WPR programs.
And some of those contributions come from Jill Nadeau and Larry Mueller as well.
That's right.
And I tell you what, you can join in too. It means your support, really, all kidding aside, it's vital to keep Wisconsin Public Radio on the air. And now that you know how important you are, make your gift right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
We hear a lot from first-time donors who are giving because they've gotten their first job out of college, or people who turned 30 and realized, you know, I'm kind of growing up now. I guess it's time to go give to WPR.
Oh, man. Giving money to something you believe in, a service you rely on, it's a great way to commemorate a new phase of your life, and we certainly encourage it. Many first-time donors give 10 or 20 bucks a month. But you choose the amount that's right for you and then go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution.
I've just learned a lot by listening to public radio. I feel like I can use it. It's something I can use in my life and learn more or do something different or think differently. It kind of runs in my family. My mom listens to public radio. My dad listens to public radio. My brother listens to public radio, although I think he's unlucky because he lives in New York, and we have the best public radio here. I've traveled around the country, and this is the best. I'm Katie Simonson from Burlington. Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for news and information.
Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your donation in support of the programs you caught on. Larry Mueller here with Jill Nadeau. Your support today of Wisconsin Public Radio, it keeps all the programs you enjoy going strong. And your contribution might be $10 a month, could be $100 a month, whatever amount you choose. We appreciate it and we count on it.
Absolutely. And, you know, I've said it before and I'll say it again, Larry, giving to WPR is super easy. All it takes is a few minutes of your time and a gift of any amount. So just to say $10 a month.
And that donation comes back to you every day in the form of engaging programs. So show your support at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And please give as generously as you can.
Absolutely. And we are looking for 25 people this hour to support the WPR programs. And we've got, oh, let's see here, 50 minutes to go. We can do that, Larry. No problem, right?
No problem at all. Assuming we get a little help.
Absolutely.
From listeners.
And how do you help us? You give us a call at 888-202-2552. Or you can go online. And that's easy too, WPR.org.
Show off your support of WPR with every sip out of your 2022 WPR mug. Do you have one of those, Jill?
I don't, Larry. I think I need one, though.
I think you need one, too. Maybe put that in on your next contribution here. And as you listen to us talk, you can ask for yours right now with your gift of $10 a month or more. Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
And be like Jill in Chicago. And someone named Jill, another Jill, I love it, says, "Hi, Larry. We are driving through Wisconsin. And while we don't live here anymore, we still love WPR and Garden Talk." I love that. That's great.
Jill, you're a woman after my own heart. Thank you so much. Thanks so much for that contribution. And thanks so much for letting us know you listen. Your gift right now is so important at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Thanks if you've contributed. If you haven't, well, do it right now as we talk with Liz Freemuth. Our guest today, she provides concierge horticultural services through her business, The Garden Hoe, and she has some plant varieties to tell us about, some ideas that are kind of maybe easy plants and fun plants to grow. And if you have a question for her, you can call us at 1-800-642-1234, or you could email us to ideas@WPR.org. Liz Freemuth, welcome back. Great to have you with us.
Oh, thanks so much for inviting me to be on. I love your show.
Well, thank you. And I love talking to you. And, you know, anytime we talk about plants, all plants are fun in a way, I think. And that's usually what a gardener wants, you know, what they're looking for. Well, to you, what makes a plant fun?
When it grows, that's super fun. I am pretty good at killing a plant here and there. That's a good way to learn how not to do it. But, you know, I love everything green. I love everything that grows. And so to me, that's super fun. But when I go out and I can find something unusual to do either with a plant that I already know or a new cultivar, that just makes me super happy. That just puts me over the edge. And one of the things that has really, I don't know, kind of tripped my trigger this year is looking at microgreens, and especially this time of the year, because I don't know a gardener out there who doesn't have seeds they didn't use last year,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
You know, and vegetable seeds, definitely. So right now, most gardeners are really itching to go out and do something. And it's a little cold. We can't do that up here. So take a look at those seeds you've got that you didn't put in, and think about growing those in a pot inside. Add a little extra light. We've got the right temperatures for it inside. And, you know, sunflowers are great microgreens. So for, you know, we get a package of sunflowers for what, you know, a few dollars. And most of the time we don't use all the seeds. So we've got those sitting. Those are fantastic as microgreens. You get them up to about 4 or 5 inches in height and cut those off and toss those in a salad or on a sandwich and really good.
Oh, what a good idea. I hadn't thought about sunflower seeds.
Oh, peas. You know, to me, peas are just...
Oh, I love peas.
Yeah, and, you know, we're still a little early to be getting our peas out. And yet you can take those and plant them really thick and close together, you know, like you would sunflowers too. Any of these things you're doing as microgreens, you can essentially plant them seed to seed because they don't need a lot of root real estate while they're getting to the harvest stage, you know, 4 or 5 inches. That's all we need. So peas are fantastic. Corn is another one that if you've got sweet corn seed that you didn't plant last year, pop that in, get it growing. Tastes fantastic. Why not, right? Nasturtiums. Who doesn't have nasturtium seeds sitting around? Do those as well. So to me, that's just one kind of fun thing to do right now. And I don't know, what do you want to talk about first? You want to talk about annuals, perennial shrubs? What should we hit first, Larry?
Well, I tell you what, I want to talk to Antia from Spring Valley because she has a burning question.
Hi, this is Antia, and my question is about what peach tree I could grow in this environment. This is my first year in Wisconsin. I moved from the south, and my neighbors really are not gardeners, so I'm not getting any assistance when it comes to asking questions from them. Where do you live? In Spring Valley, Wisconsin.
Spring Valley. Okay, so more than likely, about the only one you're going to get to grow is going to be a Reliance, which is a good peach. And if you are close to, you know, there's a number of good garden centers around, but Jung's does a really good job of providing cold hardy bare root trees early in the year. And that's J-U-N-G-S. And if you go to their website or if you get a catalog or something like that, you should be able to find a selection, a very, very small selection of peach trees. We don't get a long life out of those in Wisconsin because we're a little cold. And they actually can very easily get a bacterial infection in them with a little bit of damage on the trunk. And that's generally what takes them out around here. If you have a spot where you can give them some protection from wind and from some of the cold, warm that we get in early spring, then you may actually get a little bit more life out of them. The other problem that we run into with early flowering fruit trees is that we'll get a cold snap sometimes, and the flowers are out there, they're looking great, and we get a frost, and that shoots our fruit crop for the year. But we do have a handful that are good that have proven to at least be around long enough to get us a nice couple of fruit crops.
There you go, Auntia. Thank you so much for calling. And Nancy and Madison, what's on your mind?
Well, I just discovered after living here for 6 years, there was a bumper crop of walnuts, and I was like, oh, that's why I can't grow anything. So I don't know what I can grow in the presence of a walnut tree that won't kill me. Like, I can't grow tomatoes. And so I think squash is possible. But then I also thought maybe I would just put containers in the garden and screw using the actual soil and just grow things that way. And then I just have another question about transplanting a lupin.
Okay, let's approach your walnut first. Now, if you send me an email, and Larry will have the link on the WPR website. If you send me an email, I will send you a list that I've compiled over the years of potentially walnut-friendly plants. And so that will give you a little bit of a leg up. But, you know, the research out there, and it's kind of conflicting. Some people say it doesn't impact them. Well, I know it does. And the research that comes out of Champaign-Urbana, they have actually tested walnut residual in the soil, upwards of like 20 years, and it's still there. So what we do is, like you said, you know, plant in containers. And what you want to do, if you're going to do that, is avoid the canopy as well, because not only is it in the roots and in the walnuts themselves, et cetera, but you can also get some wash off of the leaves. And so in the rain, you've got containers under the walnut canopy that actually can rinse some of that jug loam into the soil as well in your containers. So you do want to be a little aware of keeping it away from underneath the canopy. Soil, it's, as I said, they've been testing. It's been around for, they really don't see a lot of lessening in the jug loam toxicity in the soil. So, but send me an email. I'd be happy to send you the list that I've compiled, and that's from a number of different parts of the country, so that it does represent different soil types and different climates, et cetera, and just pick and choose out of there, and you may have to do trial and error on that as well. So as far as moving lupins, you have to be a little careful with moving those. And number one, don't take them out of the wild if you do have them. But if you're moving them around in your own yard, just allow plenty of soil and the least amount of root disturbance as possible.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you so much, Nancy, for calling. Appreciate your call. Here, I'm looking. Oh, my gosh. Jill Nadeau is banging on the window to get back. Come on in. Come on in. Come on in, Jill. she is always excited to talk about our winter member drive. I know she is. And I know she knows that you count on the Ideas Network for great discussions. And in your gift, any amount makes these talks possible. It's a support from you. It's the largest source of funding for our shows, and that's why I hope you will call right now at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution. It's so important. How are we doing?
We are doing pretty well, Larry, but I always think we could do a little bit better. And we've got about 40 minutes left of this hour, and we're still looking for 18 more people to join in. And remember, when you give, you fund the Larry Mueller Show and all the other WPR programs that you count on. But you can show us a little love by calling in right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Think about the time you spend listening to WPR in the car. Somebody called earlier and said, yeah, I'm listening in the car right now. Weekdays, you get good news and issues. Weekends, you get lots of laughs and music. Really great.
Yeah, and you make great use of your time when you listen in the car. I know I used to do that when I actually got to drive in to work, Larry. But, you know, you got 45 minutes in the car. It's great when you have something along that you can really get excited about. You know, you're going, you get all this information, you get a little inspiration. Hopefully you won't start crying, which I've had happen. Your life is enriched. Your time is enjoyable. And every time you get behind the wheel, you've got that to look forward to.
Your gift helps make the quality time you spend with us in the car or anywhere possible at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And our monthly giving program is becoming really, really popular. In fact, we have more than 25,000 sustainers who make ongoing monthly gifts. And that number just keeps growing every day.
Yeah, give it a try. Yeah, we think you'll like it. Set up a monthly amount to come from your bank account or your credit card. And that donation will continue automatically every month. Easy to get started with your gift of $10 or $20 a month or whatever amount you choose at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
The news, conversations, and music you enjoy on WPR pair well with a morning cup of coffee or afternoon tea. This member drive, enjoy your favorite hot beverage and show off your support for your favorite radio station. Request your new WPR mug when you give $10 a month or more. This white ceramic mug features a design that'll showcase your love for Wisconsin's nature and WPR. Ask for yours now when you give $10 a month or more. Here's how.
Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution. Larry Mueller here with Jill Nadeau. Listener support, the biggest source of funding for our programs, the ones you rely on. And that's why your support during our drive is so important. And your gift, it could be $10 a month, might be $100 a month or $200. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
Absolutely. We will take it. And we've got about 35 minutes left or so of the program, and we're looking for 17 more people to join in. And thank you so much if you've already given.
And if you haven't, give right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Your gift funds this show and all of the programs you enjoy.
That's right. And it also says, I value this program. I want more of it. You know, it makes you think. It makes you laugh. Well, you fill in the blank about how you feel about hearing this show. Because those are powerful feelings when you think about it, you know, and all the information that we give, it's so wonderful. You make a powerful statement when you support what you value, what you believe in. So give now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, I'm squinting and looking at this screen, and is it still 17 more to go for this?
Actually, I think I misread it. It's 18 now, I don't trust this. I don't trust the screen. Okay, we're getting from Courtney that it's 17. Okay.
17 more. All right.
17.
17 more people to support the programs in the next 34 minutes or so. And we'll meet our hourly goal. WPR is listener-powered, and that's why your gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552 is so important. You're listening to Garden Talk on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here with my guest, Liz Freemuth, who provides concierge horticultural services through her business, The Garden Hoe. She goes all over the country with her business, but she's located right here in good old Wisconsin, and she does a great job. Join in, 800-642-1234, email to ideas@wpr.org. Ted called from Spooner. He says last summer he grew some watermelon and radishes, and this was the first time he successfully grew a radish. He says he cut the tops off and placed in the fridge and stayed fresh for a long time.
Excellent.
He wonders if you've heard of that working for others.
Absolutely. And one of the key things when you're harvesting your vegetables, and you learn this from people who do this for a living, is to chill those down as quickly as possible. And so that's, you know, rinse them in cool water, get the dirt off, and take the tops off if you're not going to use them. Radishes, we don't eat the tops on generally. And so you want to get that cool, get the most vegetative debris off as you can, and keep them nice and moist and cool, and they should last for you a good long time.
Yeah, absolutely. Mark in New Glarus has an indoor-outdoor lime tree and is losing almost all of its leaves right now. Not surprising. It might have been underwatered by friends after Mark was away from home a bit. It thrives outside in the spring, but he's afraid it might be gone before then. Since it's losing its leaves, what's your advice on it, Les?
You know, do you still have Limey, by the way?
Yeah, Limey has been very, very ill for a long, long time.
Yeah, and you know, they can actually, citrus trees can actually be hit by quite a few problems. Scale is a huge, huge thing. You can spend every spare hour you have picking scale off of indoor citrus trees. And, you know, while it can be a fun pastime and, you know, use your WPR mug to drink something while you're doing it, but it's really not, you know, not good for the health of the lime tree. So what I would suggest is to look first, because we know scale is a huge problem, look first to see if you've got some bumps on the tissue, on the branches, on the trunk, you know, close to the leaves, on the leaves. And if you do, then it would be a good idea to start picking that off, and then also looking at whether it's worth cutting it back pretty severely to get rid of major infestations, or if it's worth, you know, pulling them off individually. There are some systemics that you can use to kill the scale, but then you also can't eat any of the fruit for a good year to 2 years. And so you do have to be a bit cautious about any chemicals that you use on edible fruit trees, especially those you're moving in and out. I would pull it out of the pot, take a look at the roots to see if the roots are looking healthy. If it's been an over or underwater situation, hopefully not over. Under is a little bit easier to fix. But if it was overwatered, you may have a little bit of root rot going on. And if that's the case, you know, trimming it back, rinsing the soil off, and repotting may actually do it a world of good. And if you do have some rot issues underneath there, you'll want a new pot. If it was in a plastic pot, just go with a new one. If it was in a clay pot, you can actually disinfest that either in the oven or with a 10% bleach solution, and then you can use that again without fear of reinfesting your roots. So that's what I would look at, and I wouldn't worry about it too horribly much. Citrus trees for us, really you can hack and whack pretty good on those, and they'll come back, and they actually like it a little bit if you cut them back. So I would say those are the good first steps.
Yeah, I think that's a very good approach that you're suggesting there. But don't put it in a brand new pot that's a great big pot compared to the tree. Keep it.
Yep.
They like it kind of tighter than looser. Let's put it that way.
They do. And actually, for clients, when I take care of their citrus trees, we often just pull them out of the pot, trim the roots back, and put them back in the same pot.
Yep.
You know, especially if there's no health issues, and because you're only taking an inch or so off, just a minor root trim, and then put them back in, because they do like to be a bit root bound.
You can join in too, 800-642-1234, or email to ideas@WPR.org. You know, we're talking easy plants too. What about easy annuals to try?
Oh, easy annuals. You know, one that I love and we don't use often enough is an herb called borage. And it has these beautiful blue flowers on them, which are good magnets for bees. They have the color, texture, et cetera, that bees love for pollinating. And the leaves are funky. They've got a bit of fuzz on them, and they taste like light-flavored cucumber. And so you can pick the leaves and pop those into a salad. You know, you just might want to warn people who aren't used to, you know, coming to your house, especially over the last couple of years, and eating weird stuff. So you may want to introduce them to it before they fork it into their mouth. Another one, really, for us who are anxious to get out and get going is stock, the flowers, the scented flowers stock. And those can actually go out in the garden fairly early in seed form. They'll take cool soil. It's one of those early season seeds that we can put in and get some wonderful flowers out of it. They start to fail slightly. A lot of our cool season plants will start to fail when the temperatures get 75 and above and humid. But the nice thing is they will germinate up to about, I don't know, 75 degrees soil temp, 65, 75, somewhere in there. So you can even put them in later in the summer when the evenings are cool, which brings the soil temp down, and you can get another crop of those. Another annual that I like, vines, number one, you know, sweet pea, definitely.
Yeah.
But also hyacinth vine, which I first was exposed to going out to Jefferson's Monticello, and that was absolutely fantastic. It's a fast-growing, vining bean with gorgeous flowers, and not so much. You don't grow it for the pods. They're decorative, but, you know, not really so edible. But the flowers are absolutely beautiful, lavender color on them, and the vines are a lovely burgundy, and so it can add a nice pop to almost anywhere outside. Now, being a bean, you do have to watch the temperature where you're putting it out. So you're looking at somewhere around 60, 65 degree soil temp before you put those seeds out in the ground. And to me, fun and easy means you can pop the seeds right in the ground and let it go and do what it's going to do. So there's a ton of annuals that we can do. You know, things like cosmos, which are super easy, and amaranth, which, you know, a lot of people are now eating amaranth, and they're extremely decorative plants. So you can give some of those a whirl. And come on, zinnias. It's like 60 days from seed to flower. So how horrible is that? The only thing with seeds like zinnia is they do like warm soil temps. So you want to wait until the soil has warmed up to around 70 or so before you pop those seeds in the ground. And we talk about soil temp being important. Go out and buy yourself a soil thermometer if you don't have one. They're like 10, 12 bucks. Sometimes you can find them on sale for $4. And it's just a spike you stick in the ground. Oftentimes it has a green ball on the top that stops you at the right level to get that 4 or 5 inch reading underground. So that's a really super easy one. Then you just pop it in, leave it in there for a couple minutes, pull it out, and you can see what the soil temp is. And that gives you a point to really get busy and decide which seeds to put in.
Your instant read meat thermometer could work too, couldn't it?
I think so, but as long as you, why not? I mean, no, come on, it's a thermometer. But you do want to tape off where you want to stop.
Yeah.
Because you're looking at that 4 inches underground to get the proper soil temperature reading. So if you go deeper than that, you may be waiting too long or waiting longer than you absolutely need to. And come on, we're gardeners. We're impatient. We want stuff to get going.
We have a listener question. They have a peace lily indoor plant. Plant's doing okay, but it has some brown leaf tips. The internet says Dr. Google says it's likely a phosphorus imbalance that suggests adding fish tank water to the plant. And this person has, since they do have a fish tank. Do you think this is the right way to treat the plant?
Without looking at the leaves, I would have to give that a big I'm not sure. Because brown tips on the end can signal a couple different things. You know, like we had talked about the lime tree, it can actually be overwatering or underwatering. And so without looking at the roots and looking at the conditions under which it's growing, that one's a big I'm not sure. Most definitely, if we're not feeding our houseplants, they're not getting the nutrients because their world is contained in that pot. And so if we're not adding fertilizer of some sort to it, they're not getting it. And so you do need to make sure that you're properly fertilizing whatever you've got for houseplants because it could very well be a phosphorus deficiency. Or it could be that there's not enough moisture in the air, or it could be that it's been overwatered and the tips are starting to die back. It could be that it's underwater and the tips are starting to dry out. And that would be based on what that dry or that browning looks like, whether it's got a halo on the edge of it, all of those things, all of the above. My suggestion would be to send a pic to Dr. Death at the Plant Disease Diagnostic Lab, and he might be able to give a good visual reading on what you're looking at.
Yep, UW Plant Disease Diagnostic Clinic, and Dr. Death, Brian Huddleston, will get you an answer. Well, yep. You'll get some answers, too, from Jill Nadeau, who's the answer gal here at WPR. Jill, good to see your smiling face again.
Hey, Larry, ask me any question. I'll give you an answer. It might not be right, but I'll give you an answer.
Well, here's the question. Are listener contributions the largest source of funding at WPR?
They are, in fact.
I thought as much. Your gift keeps the programs you value, like the Larry Mueller Show and Garden Talk, on the air. So hope you'll make your contribution right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
An update for you, Larry. We've got about 20 minutes left with this hour, and we're still looking for about 13 more people to join in. Well, actually, I think it's more like 10. Yep, 10 more people. Thank you. Make your gift to support the programs that you enjoy and you rely on every day.
WPR programs are listener-powered, and that means that your donation right now really makes a difference. At WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Absolutely. You know, and we just, with Liz, I've got the list written down, Larry. I've got Borage, I've got Stock, I've got Hyacinth Fine, I've got Sweet Pea Cosmo, Amarath, and Zinnias. I've got them all written down. And that's the kind of stuff that you get from Garden Talk in particular. You get so many great ideas. And as gardeners, you know, we love to try new ideas. So this is the perfect show for you to be listening to. And remember, you are the people that support our listeners at WPR. So that means that when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. You make this program and so many more programs possible. So choose an amount that works for you. Take a few minutes, make your gift.
And guess what? You get to decide how much to give. Maybe $100 or $200 a month is the right amount for you.
Absolutely. And, you know, that might be what you spend every month on takeout or entertainment or, you know, all of our streaming services. They're so expensive when you add them up. Well, things you enjoy that make life better. That's what it's like listening to WPR. And the important thing is that you decide what amount is right for you and then make your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I prefer more balanced conversation. That's what took me to WPR. When I got there, I found a whole host of programming that interests me. Gardening shows, home improvement shows, humor shows, word language shows, things that just grab my interest and grab my attention. It's not just one thing. We had been giving on an annual basis for years. I didn't want this to be an annual decision, and I think that's where we decided to make the change and become sustaining members. It was a statement of values as much as a statement of financial commitment. I'm Bruce from Brookfield, Wisconsin. I enjoy being a WPR sustainer, and I think you will too.
I agree with you, Bruce. Thank you so much for those comments. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to make your donation. Larry Mueller here with Jill Nadeau. Your support during our drive makes the programs you rely on possible. Your gift, it could be $10 or $20 a month. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
And after you've made your donation to WPR, you can make your gift go further by telling your friends and your family.
Whether you use social media, you call them up, or you mention it when you see them, just letting your friends and family know that you support WPR will plant that idea in their minds. So make your
pun intended, Larry.
Oh, my goodness. Make your gift right now. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and then let your friends know how good it feels when you support the station you enjoy every day.
Absolutely. And we just need 10 more people to support WPR programs in the next 15 minutes. So we can meet that goal. I know we can meet that goal. WPR is listener powered. And that's why your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
Has anybody written and said that they like to support this show?
They did, Larry. Surprisingly, you asked that. Lane in Evanston, Illinois says, I donate to support Larry Mueller. There you go. And Kenneth in Middleton says, I'm really enjoying Larry's show today. There's lots of good listening on WPR.
Your gift
very
right now.
Observant, wise people, right?
They're so smart and good looking, too. Smart, good looking
people.
That's it. Your gift right now is so important at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. If you haven't donated yet, do it right now. If you have, thank you. You're listening to Garden Talk on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here with my guest, Liz Freemuth, providing a provider of concierge horticultural services through her business. She works all across the country. She has clients in a lot of places. Her business is The Garden Hoe, and it's always fun to have her join in. And you can join in, too. Give a call, 1-800-642-1234. Or email us to ideas@wpr.org, ideas@wpr.org. Carol from Milwaukee called with a question, Liz. She wants to know if it's worth spritzing houseplants with water during the winter, considering the moisture and humidity in the houses. You know, it's obviously drier and different this time of year.
Right. The spritzing really does more for the spritzer than it does for the plants, only because it lasts such a short amount of time. So you'll get a nice just splash of moisture while you're doing it. But what really does benefit the plants is if you can create kind of a long-lasting humid environment for them. And you can do that a couple of different ways. Number one is to add a humidifier to the area that your plants are, especially if they're kind of placed together for the winter. You know, those that we move in and out, we kind of tend to put in one spot. If they're plants that are placed in various areas throughout the house, adding a humidifier is a little bit more difficult. But what you can do to get that same increased level of air moisture is to actually put a shallow dish with stones in it, put water in that, and then place your plants on top of that. What you want to be very careful to not do is to have that water level high enough that it directly impacts or touches the bottom of that pot, because then your plant may suck up too much moisture in the roots, especially if it's a plant that doesn't like wet roots. That can kill it. But what you're doing in having that dish with rocks in it and water is you're allowing that water to naturally evaporate, and it will continually increase the moisture, the air moisture around that plant. And that can be done with, you know, any kind of pot and some nice rocks. And so there you go. That's an easy, easy way. And then you're not spritzing the trim on the windows and everything else. You know, that I don't know about you, but I get a little spritz happy with the spritzer. So that should give her an increased humidity.
Craig from Kellenersville sent us an email. Craig sprays about a half a power solution of Bondi fruit tree spray on their lemons and limes to kill scale, and really does the job. I'm Bondi fruit tree spray.
I don't know Bondi. Hopefully, just, you know, with any product, what you need to do as a responsible tree owner is, and I'm sure he's done this, so I'll take a look at Bondi and see what's in it when we're off the air. But you want to read the label very, very carefully. And there's two things that you're going to look for when you're dealing with edible plant material of any kind. And that's, you want to make sure that it is labeled for the plant you're using it on, and it will list that in the label. So you may have to get out a magnifying glass in order to read that label. A better thing to do would be to just go online and put it in and look for a copy of the label. And then you can read through and you can see what plants it is labeled for, and that labeling, quote unquote, is so that there aren't any adverse effects from using that product on your particular tree. I know in one instance we had somebody spray for some insects. Well, guess what? It caused spotting on petunias. So that whole crop of petunias. So you just need to read through every little tiny line on that label to make sure that you've got the right product for the right plant. Then the other thing you're going to look for is pre-harvest interval. And when you're looking at pre-harvest interval, that tells you the time period that you need to allow between when you spray and when you harvest. And so you want to make sure that all of that product has gone through the plant system and is out before you're harvesting and eating. So those are the temperature as well. But, you know, when you're looking at spraying in the house, then temperature is not so an issue. Yeah. If you're spraying outside, it definitely can be, because then the product may burn the plant tissue if the temperature gets up too high. But those are really the couple of things that you're looking for, and I'm glad that product has worked well for him on scale. Because scale is a horrible
worst.
Oh, yes, it is bad. It is bad.
Melissa in Madison, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi. I have a question about a jade plant that I have. It's rather large. There's two stems, I guess you could say, that come out of the pot. But it was between two windows over the winter, and they've both kind of tried to reach for the light on both sides, and so they're really bent over. And I'm just wondering how I can fix them and get them straight again, and if there's a suggested way to brace them. They just feel like they're really delicate.
Yeah, jade plants will break if you look at them. They do. They're very succulent, and they will tend to get a little top heavy. And how big are we talking for these plants?
They're probably at least a foot tall.
Okay. So they're still in that range where what I would suggest to you is to take off a couple of cuttings, just in case anything you do might kill it, if you really like it. And that way you can start new plants, just in case. But they're also within that size where you could really trim them back. If they appear to be a little bit top heavy, they probably are. And you can really trim them back and encourage side growth that is going to then take some of that pressure off of those stems and kind of make them sway a little bit. So that will help a little bit. The other thing you can do is you can put small bamboo stakes, you know, similar to what they do for orchids and stuff like that. You can put those into the soil and train those to come back upright a little bit, you know, especially if it's more of an aesthetic thing that looks as though those stems are not cracking. It may be actually okay to have them leaning somewhat, but aesthetically, if you're not happy with that, then train them to go back, bamboo sticks, you know, something like that, and gently tie the stems to those sticks and then bring it in slowly over a few weeks, and you should be able to get them upright. It may be that if you want to not trim that back, you might end up having to keep them staked all the time or else they'll flop back over again. As it ages, it will develop a little bit harder tissue at the base, but when they're younger, they definitely will split like that. And either that or you can choose which one you like and take off the other stem and just have...
Yeah, you could put the other stem, you could start the other stem in another pot or something, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. They will root very, very easily.
So there you go, Melissa. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. Well, the jade plant queen, Jill Nadeau, has joined us. And when it comes to jade, boy, she knows her business. And she also knows about our Wisconsin Public Radio winter member drive. Don't you, Jill? You've heard
I
of
do,
it.
I do. And, yeah. You know, I'm the queen of jade plants because I kill everyone that I get. So. Got lots of experience on jade plants.
Her goal is not to kill her jade plant. Our goal, though, is to keep bringing you topics like the one today on Garden Talk with Liz Freemuth as we talk about all kinds of things, but really fun plants to grow and of course, answering your questions as well as we move along. Your support makes this happen. Because
absolutely.
Your support's actually the largest source of funding. So give right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Absolutely, Larry. And we only need six more this hour to make our goal. We've got 5 minutes to make it. I don't think that's going to be a problem. And for those who are wondering why we have these goals, it's just to make sure that we have the funding that we need for the programs that you enjoy. So make your donation now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, Garden Talk every week is certainly one of our most popular programs on the Ideas Network. And one of our most popular guests is Liz Freemuth. And it's so much fun to have her along to talk about the kinds of things, you know, these fun plants, things that are really fun to grow. She had some great ideas about starting some plants from those seeds that are in your basement. That's what I'm actually going to do that. I'm going to go down to the basement and get some out and I'll have some greens. We are listener supported, and that means when you give at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552, you make Garden Talk and all the other programs possible. So choose an amount that works for you. Take a couple of minutes and make your gift.
And we're going to celebrate Wisconsin's sunny days. Any day when you ask for your new WPR mug. It was sunny this morning. It's not sunny anymore, but if you got the mug, it will make your day sunny. It features a navy retro sunshine and a pine tree design with a bold shout out to your number one Wisconsin radio station, WPR. And you can support us with your gift of $10 a month or more right now and ask for yours at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I do feel that it's important to give what you can to public radio.
It's really important to support this kind of programming. It's not available elsewhere.
It's a station that sometimes challenges my assumptions.
I have found new friends that keep me really informed.
It's a station that doesn't always agree with me, which is what people seem to like to listen.
And I just feel like it's stealing to listen and not contribute.
I choose to become a member. You should choose to become a member too.
And you can do that. Just go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your donation in support of the programs you count on, like Garden Talk. Larry Mueller here with Jill Nadeau. Your support today of WPR keeps all the programs you enjoy going strong. Your contribution could be $10 a month, could be $100, whatever it is, we appreciate and we count on it.
We certainly do. And we only have a couple of minutes left, and we're still looking for three more people, Larry, just three more. So give, if you to fund the Larry Mueller Show and all the other WPR programs that you count on, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You love WPR because it's your source for smart, intelligent radio. There are costs associated with this quality, and that's where you come in. Your support is so important.
And making a gift is quick and it's easy, and you'll be finished in no time at all. And your contribution of any amount, say $10 or $20 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, it makes WPR possible.
Are we still sitting on about three? Is that what it is?
Last I looked, it was three. Yep.
All right. So here we go. We've got about a minute to go here, and we would love to have three callers. What about you? If you haven't contributed yet, this would be the time to do it. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 and make your contribution. Nancy in Evansville, what did she have to say, Joe?
She said, I support WPR's ongoing commitment to balanced programming. And Sheila in Waterford says, WPR has reliable, high-quality programming. Obviously.
Obviously. Programs like Garden Talk. Your gift right now is so important for Garden Talk and the other shows. If you haven't given yet, go right now to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. If you've already contributed, thank you so much. If you haven't, please do it now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Listening to Garden Talk on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. Great to have you along today as we visit with Liz Freemuth. Back with us, she provides concierge horticultural services through her business, The Garden Hole. What plant questions do you have? Give a call. The number is 800-642-1234, or you could send us an email to ideas@WPR.org, and certainly we'd love to hear from you. Liz, Pam sent us an email saying that more than 10 years ago, her husband cross-pollinated an amaryllis. It produced many seeds, and he started several plants. There are several bulbs. However, only one has really gotten large enough to bloom, and it bloomed 2 years ago. And she wants to know what she can do to get the bulbs to grow larger. And this project is especially important to Pam because her husband passed away a few years ago.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. And what a lovely thing to leave for her. That was very kind of him. They may not actually get to be a big bulb depending on what the parentage was on the crosses that he was making. Anytime you're dealing with breeding and crossbreeding, when you go to seed as opposed to vegetative reproduction, then you may actually get characteristics from the backgrounds of any of those that were mixed in there that might not be exactly what you're looking for. But in general, in order to get the best size out of whatever genetics are there, it would be proper feeding, proper watering, and then proper treatment both during growth season and then in dormancy as well. And amaryllis do need a chilling period in order for them to produce blooms. And they may produce blooms without being a large size bulb. So what you have to do is just make sure that you're getting proper chilling. And with any bulbs, any flowering underground root of any kind, whether that's a corm, bulb, whatever, you do need to make sure that when you're chilling it, it's not actually in the presence of vegetables and fruits. So if you want to do this seriously, I would say get yourself a small college size, dorm size refrigerator and use that only for chilling your bulbs. And what happens when fruits and vegetables ripen and go to that slimy mass some of us find in our refrigerators periodically, is they give off ethylene. And that ethylene will actually cause abortion of the bloom buds when that is, you know, when they're together in the same space, and that can be in the refrigerator. So just having it separated by the plastic drawer is not going to be good enough. So if you want to make sure that you're getting the most out of them, get a little fridge and then look to see what the time period is, the chilling period. I want to say that it's like 12 weeks, 16 weeks, something like that. And they will look online and it'll give you the exact week period and then also the temperature that's needed. And make sure that you're feeding it properly at the right time. So get a fertilizer for whatever it is that you're growing. And so they would be looking at bloom at, you know, things that are definitely for that particular type of flower.
Thank you very much for that question. And you know what? I've just noticed that we have, I'm just going to mention this now, there is a dollar-for-dollar match over the next several minutes, 40 of them or so, up to $4,500 by the Wisconsin Master Gardeners Association. So it's your chance to double your pledge. If you know, if you pledge $50, they will match that. Or if you put $1,000 in, they'll match that up to $4,500. So just keep that in mind and maybe take a quick jog over to WPR.org, WPR.org, or phone 888-202-2552. Great chance now in the next several minutes to double your value of your pledge. Let's go to Nan in Mozanie. Nan, thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I have a bay tree that's about 12 years old. I take it out for the summer. It looks really well. It's about 5 feet tall, and I'd like to propagate it. I've tried the tip rooting. It doesn't work too well for me. I was wondering about air layering. Is there a better way I can do that?
Boy, I'm not that familiar with bay trees. But I would suspect that if you went on YouTube, somebody will have. Isn't that terrible that I'm going to suggest you go to YouTube and look? But often if I'm unsure of how to do it, I will go and dig through and get a bunch of different responses from people and see how to do it. I think air layering would be a fantastic way to do it, but I'm not sure. I would suspect that you're going to want to use new wood on that, and the technique for it. I know my son uses electrical tape for his, but I also know that wax works as well, and temperature is very important on doing the air layering. If you're not getting any success on tip cuttings, you know, I would do both. I would do a little bit of, and you know, really with the tip cuttings, and especially something like that, you may need a different type of hormone than what you're using. And so I would suggest that, either that, or even give Laura Joel a call at the horticulture department at UW-Madison, and pop her an email or something like that, because she is phenomenal at propagation. The other material I would suggest to look at would be Michael Dirr, D-I-R-R, his propagation book, because that will have just a ton of stuff in it. And you should be able to get propagation techniques for bay off of that as well.
That's the kind of the Bible of Michael Dirr's book is really something else. But Laura Joel probably could give you a pretty quick answer as well in the Department of Horticulture. Her last name is spelled J-U-L-L, just like it sounds, if I'm not mistaken. Linda.
Sure, I couldn't give any better than that.
Linda in Oregon, your turn. Hi, Linda.
Hi. Wow, great. I'm so glad I was able to get through. I have planted some jewel black raspberries a couple years ago, and then I got intensely involved in family stuff and was really unable to take care of them appropriately. And even I don't know what is appropriate, but they have gotten completely out of control and extremely wild and extremely long branches. And then they touch down and then they root. And I just want to know what can I do to get this back under control?
Okay. Black raspberries are an interesting animal in the landscape, definitely. Have you been getting fruit on them? Has that been an issue?
Yes, I have. I've had them in for about 3 years. I'm a little embarrassed to say that that's how long I've let them go. But yeah, they're magnificent. I got them from Jung, and I think I got the Jewel Black is the variety.
Okay, you can be as mean as you need to with those and take out the ones that look the worst. And you can actually wait until they start to grow this year. You can take out canes here and there that are looking old and look like they just are kind of icky, and thin them out very well, because you do need to have good sunlight and airflow, et cetera. As far as the length of them, what some of the research has said out there is that you can take off about the top, you know, top being, take a look at the top of the cane, not necessarily height-wise, but the end of the cane. You can take off about a third of that, a quarter to a third, and not impact production too much. And so you will get the main crop of fruit on the canes that are going to be further in toward the center of the plant. Again, you can be as mean as you want, and they will do fine. And, you know, don't feel bad about letting things go. We as gardeners allow ourselves to feel guilt way too easily. Don't. They're doing fine with or without you. And so this is just get them in shape. You know, you're looking at clearing out probably about a third of the canes and giving them some space, and then you can trim off the ends if you so choose. Beautiful thing about the fact that they're rooting on the ground is you can actually cut those canes off and dig up those roots and replant them elsewhere.
Linda, there you go. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. Got an email from Brianna, and she says, we were talking about microgreens, and she says she harvested some clover microgreens from a kit to put on her lunchtime sandwich, and that's an easy way to eat your veggies.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. And microgreens are just, to me, they're a much safer approach than doing sprouts. Because with sprouts, you can get salmonella based on temperature, et cetera. So doing the microgreens, you're growing it in a nice, clean container, good sterilized soil, you know, really packing the seeds in there, and then you've got harvest within a few weeks. It's wonderful. Absolutely wonderful.
But I liked your idea about, and I'm going to head down to the basement and look through my seeds.
Frugal gardeners. So, hey, do we have a minute to talk about an unusual perennial or two?
We sure do. Go ahead.
Okay, alliums. You know, one of the easiest plants out there. I have to tell you, I absolutely love one called Blue Eddy, E-D-D-Y. And it has blue-green foliage that is swirly. So, you know, alliums are so super easy. And to have one that really gives a little bit added oomph is wonderful. So when the flowers are done, you're left with this wide foliage and it wide gray-green, and it's just absolutely wonderful. So people should give that a whirl. And then Amazonia also, I guess I'm going to stick on A's today, Amazonia Storm Cloud. In Amazonias, the A-M-S-O-N-I-A, are a fantastic native, and there's a bunch of nativars out there as well. There's been some breeding done. Storm cloud opens up so that it almost looks like a deep purple asparagus coming up out of the ground early in the spring. And they flower, the common name is blue star flower, and they will produce flowers in May. So we're looking at some really interesting early season growth on those. And then one that, you know, hellebores, definitely. If people don't have hellebores in Wisconsin, put them in. They are just absolutely fantastic. And you know, I used to say the deer don't bother them. Well, this year, the deer have bothered the hellebores. So we do want to be a little bit cautious about saying deer-proof, but they don't typically bother it. This year they have. And I'm chalking that up to COVID because of the research that came out there that said deer get COVID. So I'm going to say they're eating things this year because their taste buds have been impacted by COVID. That's my theory on it, and I'm sticking with it. So and the other thing I want to touch on before we go back to fundraising is shrubs to try. Things for Wisconsin that we don't typically grow, and I talk about Abelia mosinensis because I absolutely love this shrub. And we're starting to see some cultivars out there. One is called Sweet Emotion, and it is a northern hardy, sweet, sweet, sweet smelling, early spring flowering shrub that is really no care. You put it in, it flowers on old wood, so you cut it after it flowers. You can do as much or as little to it as you want, and it will just keep going on and on and on. Deer don't bother it. Calycanthus is fantastic. It's Carolina sweet shrub. Longest time we didn't think that it was viable of this far north. It is, and you get one that smells delicious, and it's a cocktail shrub. Walk out with your cocktail at cocktail hour, and it has the smell of a lovely bowl of fruit. So absolutely fantastic. And then also the hardy hibiscus, not Rose of Sharon, which is lovely on its own, but the mascudos, which is the huge flowering hibiscus. Those are so wonderful for wet areas, damp areas, and it is off of native plants for us. So, you know, yes, there's tropical hibiscus, but these are the ones that are cold hardy, and they're just absolutely lovely with dinner plate sized blooms and different colors, et cetera. Deer don't typically bother them a lot. What we do, I have seen them munch on it, and they kind of like the flowers, which for us, they're tasty as well. But those, the biggest drawback is excitable gardeners pull them out too early in the spring because they really don't start growing until the end of May. And so we think they're dead because they're just sticks sitting there.
but they're alive.
So those are things for people to try that are really easy and low effort. You know, once you put them in, they're pretty much good to go.
Liz, on that note, I'll thank you so much. It's always fun, and we'll look forward to another visit from you for sure. Thank you, Liz. Appreciate it very much. Liz Freemuth provides horticulture services through her business, The Garden Hole. Love to have her with us. I always love to have Jill Nadeau with us. By the way, Tyler Dinner's our engineer, and Jill's our producer. And here we are with a great deal here. We have a dollar-for-dollar match during our fund drive up to $4,500. And this generous match is from current members, including the Wisconsin Master Gardeners Association. It means that they will match every dollar you give.
Absolutely. And it's their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. So double your support right now. It's a great opportunity at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And it's a great way to support Garden Talk as well. Every week we hear from a different expert about one of your favorite pastimes, gardening. We talk with horticulture professors. We talk with nationally renowned gardeners who can answer a wide variety of general questions. We have others who specialize in maybe lawns or trees or vegetables or native plants and a whole lot more. So I hope you'll support this weekly show where you get so much gardening information all year long with your gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
It's amazing how much new stuff we learn every show, Larry. I mean, I've been gardening for years. You've been gardening for years. And I know I just
always learn something. Always learn something new.
Yep. And today we are bringing back the long sleeve t-shirt that we had available last year. It's a light blue Wisconsin inspired design. It's in the design is light blue. The shirt is navy, just to get that right. So if you want to get that long sleeve shirt, your gift of $20 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We exist because people contribute. And when we all give, our contributions add up to make this program possible, the Garden Talk Show and the other shows. So your contribution really does make a difference. And here we've got this dollar-for-dollar match, a great time to do it. And it's really pretty simple, isn't it, Liz? Jill?
Yes, it is very simple, Larry. One gift at a time, basically. Listeners make Wisconsin Public Radio possible. So your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 makes all the difference.
And maybe you listened to WPR in school as a kid. I did. Maybe in your car with your parents. I did that too. Maybe you found us on your own. No matter how much or how you first tuned in, you probably want to see WPR continue. It's an important part of Wisconsin.
And if you've never given before, well, now is the perfect time to do your part because it's never too late to make your first contribution of maybe just $10 or $20 a month. Right now, we have matching funds, so you can double it. It's easy, doesn't take long. Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I've been a public radio listener for as long as it's been around. It's a long time. Public radio for me is pretty much the only kind of radio that that I would choose to listen to. My name is Penny, and Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for programming I can't get anywhere else.
You can give at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Make your contribution. I'm Larry Mueller with Jill Nadeau. Listener support, it's our biggest source of funding for the shows that we have. And your gift, it could be $10 or $100 a month. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount, and it will be doubled during this special time.
Absolutely. And last time I checked, we have about $3,000 of that $45 left on the table. So please, we want to take advantage of that. And, you know, we value your time. You value your time. So giving to Wisconsin Public Radio just takes a few minutes. So tell us your name, your contact info, how much you want to give, and how you'd like to pay.
Easy and quick to do, and your gift right now really helps. So take a couple of minutes to support the station you count on at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And it's easy to spend a dollar or more a day on things that are part of your routine and, you know, like a cup of coffee or your favorite snack. And they may not mean quite as much as giving that to WPR, though.
No, it might not. It might not indeed. We have a dollar for dollar match up to $4,500. And as Jill said, I think we've got about $3,000 of that still waiting to be used. It's a great time to donate because current members, including the Wisconsin Master Gardeners Association, a great group of people, they are going to double every dollar you give. It's their way of inspiring you to support Wisconsin Public Radio. You can double the impact of your gift right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. And, you know, Garden Talk is one of the fun shows. The one show Jill and I just love doing this show every week. It brings us a lot of pleasure, and I think it probably brings you some pleasure as well. And here's your chance to double your donation right now when you go to WPR.org or you phone 888-202-2552. Do that right now. You'll be doubling your support, and you'll be getting a lot of thanks from Jill and from me. Thank you so much for listening. Again, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.